You're listening to Sideshow Network. Check out all of our shows at SideshowNetwork.tv.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever here on Sideshow Network. Brought to you by Comics on Comics, where the greatest comic minds meet the greatest minds in comics. I'm Sean.
And I'm Jen.
And yet again, we bring you selections from our comic book collection that are less than...
That suck.
Good.
Less than good.
Well, no, here's the thing.
They're not bad. Wait.
Financially, they...
Cheap. Let's just say cheap.
It's cheap. Because here's the thing. So we're doing... this week, we're doing Quasar.
Yes, Quasar.
I said it right.
Yes, you did. You didn't call it Quasar.
I might call it Quasar, but... Yeah.
Sure you're plugged.
Oh, I'm plugged.
Okay.
So, you know, we're doing Quasar, which I like, legitimately like.
Yeah, you're a big Quasar fan. I think there's, like, you and, like, probably one other dude.
There might be. I think that's it.
That's it. Nobody else cares.
But we're also doing our first Image comic.
Yes, we are. Hot. This one's brand new to our collection because we bought some crap.
Well, we went to... Meltdown Comics yesterday here in Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
And
went to go see a nice show.
Yes,
the back of the comic book store.
Yeah, the Nerd Melt Theater called the Setlist Show. Which, by the way, if you've never been to the Setlist Show and you live out here in Los Angeles, please go and see it.
They do it all over the world.
They do it all over. They do New York,
Scotland. I mean, all sorts of places.
Australia.
Yeah, check their website out because they're really funny and just comedians doing comedy off topics they've never seen before.
That's the whole concept, and it's
fun.
Some people tear it up, and it's fantastic. But what was nice was that we were at Meltdown,
mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest, it's not my favorite store in L.A.
No, mine either.
You know, I think it's a little...
Not enough dollar boxes. In fact, no dollar boxes.
No dollar boxes.
Which right then puts it at the bottom of my list.
And it's also one of those places, too, where...
It's hip.
It's really hip. Like, let's put it this way. If you're
I'm not hip.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just put this out there. I am not hip enough to go to Meltdown. Like, I'm not cool enough. I'm not indie enough. I'm not ironic enough.
But it's ironic that you're there, because how can an unhip
right?
person
that's the thing.
Exist?
It's ironic that some woman who looks like she has 19 children just, like, wandered in. She's like, oh, I'm buying things for my son, because I look like everybody's mom.
You don't look like a mom.
I totally look like a mom, which is fine. I mean, I'm in my 30s. I should probably look like someone's mother, but I don't. And, and I wander in, and there's, like, all these cool, hip people, and I'm like, I don't belong here. And it's expensive.
Yeah, it's expensive. It's kind of expensive.
And there's no dollar boxes, which that is what I want. I want cheap shit.
But what they did have was some grab bags.
Oh, yes, wrapped in brown paper.
Wrapped in brown paper
I'm a sucker for those.
You know, that they were selling. And plus, if you bought something, you got into the...
It was 10% off.
Setlist Show. Yeah, Setlist Show for
early,
and you got 10% off. So that was some incentive, and I didn't realize they did this. And
I love the grab bag.
I thought that was rad. Yeah, I thought it was rad that they did it.
And, I mean, that's how we got Justice Machine, was a grab bag from Jeffrey's Comics.
Yeah.
So now we have an Image comic called Bloodstrike.
Bloodstrike. Now, here's the thing about Bloodstrike, which maybe if you know about this or not, but so Bloodstrike is an Image comic that originally came out back in 1992.
Yep.
For like a number of, for like 25 issues. And then it went away for 18 years. And then they started reprinting again. Like.
They brought it back. Maybe.
I don't think it's around anymore still.
And maybe it should have stayed gone.
But it's basically, it was created by Rob Liefeld.
Oh boy. But these people have feet.
Those people don't usually have feet?
You can't draw feet.
Like, legit?
Legit can't draw feet.
Then how's he a comic book artist?
I don't know. He put, like, a rock in front of him. So they're always like...
That's the first...
He can't draw feet. I'm not making this up. This is an actual thing.
Well, he should learn how to draw feet.
Well, you'd think?
You'd think being the one of the you know, most premier comic book artists of the 1990s,
No feet.
You should know how to draw a whole body.
Can't draw feet.
I refuse to accept that. Yeah. I know this is probably true.
Uh-huh.
But I still refuse to accept the fact that this is something that he cannot do. That's it's uncool.
Okay.
But this was his idea. I think you just Googled Rob Liefeld feet.
Yeah, 40 worst drawings. He hates drawing feet. It says that right there. Look, you know what?
Well, he hates drawing feet. He hates drawing
feet. He can't hidden feet because drawing feet is hard. I'm not kidding about this.
Awful.
This is a thing that he can't draw feet.
Awful.
He seems to have an aversion to drawing feet.
Because he doesn't know.
He can't. I'm not kidding about this. This is a thing.
Anyways, so these people have feet. So he didn't draw this, but he did create it. And so basically Bloodstrike, I'll give the gist of this book, or the story behind Bloodstrike, is that it's a team led by a number of deceased government operatives that have all died. But they're a part of this.
Legit died,
but okay. They come back to life. They're brought back to life, and they're given these superpowers, and they have to keep, be a part of this team in order to keep living and have superpowers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what it is. And so there's a couple of – there's five people on this team. There's Cabot Stone, who looks like Deadpool.
Kind of.
It looks like Red Hood.
Kind of.
And,
He's, I don't know if I would call him Red Hood. Later he's not even wearing his masky thing.
Well, whatever. He's got a red mask. So.
Yeah.
There's Shogun, who
kind of looks like Cable.
Really?
Without his mask later on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, kind
of. Well, that's no surprise.
Yeah.
Who his power is, he has, he can make weapons from his body, and he can regenerate, and he knows martial arts.
Sure.
Stone, or Cabot Stone, has basically, Captain America powers, like enhanced strength, speed, reaction time, all that stuff. I mean, stuff goes down later.
So these guys die.
Yeah.
And then they're given these powers and new identities?
They're given these powers and these identities.
So they didn't have them before they
died. I don't
died.
Think they did, okay. No. So there's...
Foreplay,
who I guess has four arms. I didn't notice she had four arms.
I didn't notice she had four arms either.
Maybe we'll
she looks like she's got two in that picture. We'll have to go check, because I don't see... She's got two arms there.
Yeah, she's got two arms. But apparently...
Maybe they're in her vagina.
But she... She can also. Arms. So she had two arms. Now she has two arms, and she has the power of creating her dense, upgrading her density and her mass. There's Tag, who is super fast, but I suppose it could also freeze people, freeze Tag.
Oh sure, no, that's Tag's a sheep.
Yeah. And then there's Deadlock, who is invisible and super strong. So,
and doesn't he have, claw hands?
Apparently, he's got, he's camouflaged. He's got claw
hands.
So, anyway, okay, so let's, so there's, so it starts off with some girl in the bathroom freaking out because she's over at.
I'm assuming this is the mission control.
This is the mission control for where the Bloodstrike team
lives.
And I guess they have a computer called Rome that moves them around and stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of like the, when the Justice League, needs to be beamed up to the tower type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does that.
So we start with this girl. I guess she's new, and her boss is yelling at her.
Yeah, somebody's dead, and she's upset, and her boss is just, a big old dick. And he's like, meh!
So,
you don't have the stomach for this, and she's like, I'm fine.
Right. So then we go over to Stone.
Who is fighting mummies.
He's fighting mummies. It's like that show from the 90s, Mummies Alive.
Yeah, mummies with laser guns.
Mummies with guns.
And ridiculous outfits, by the way, because look at that.
Oh, I know, yeah.
She's supposed to be wearing what ancient Egyptians would wear, so she's wearing a skirt, but the skirt has a lovely,
Asshole.
It literally has an asshole in it, like, it's so you can see her butt cheeks, even though her skirt goes all the way down to her knee.
Defeating the purpose of said skirt.
Right! But you can see that, I mean, at least her underwear match her butt-asshole skirt.
Now, mind you, this is issue number 27 from 2012.
Yes, so, we've missed on certain all sorts of great drawings of this asshole skirt.
Yeah, well, I don't know what these... I have no idea what these mummies are doing here, but
He's fighting
them. And he shoots one in the head.
I know, she's like holding its brains. Like, that wouldn't really fuck up a mummy, would it? Apparently it did.
Apparently these mummies got brains, and mummies get their brains sucked out? Like, as part of the mummification process?
You are absolutely correct. They get their brain sucked right through their nose with a hook, and then it was disposed because the ancient Egyptians did not believed that the soul resided in the heart. So the brain was always thrown away.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well,
during the mummification process. But, so anyway, like, some reason this mummy still has brains, and then he, like, whoever that guy's name is.
Cabot.
Is, like, trying to destroy these mummies, and he, like, breaks one of their necks and goes all the way around. He's like, wait, destroy the brain stem and the body will die. That's, like, some straight-up Romero shit. I'm like, they're not zombies. They're mummies.
I know, they're mummies. I know. They are the undead, but
yes,
they're not.
Yes, but they're not the same thing. Mummies and zombies are not the same thing.
And this mummy is like, fuck you, here's a bunch of bugs.
Yeah, he has, like, a hat on that has just a bunch of scarab beetles.
I like that these mummies kind of talk like regular people.
Yeah.
Because he's saying the shit, like literally the word shit, and it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird that a mummy would just be like, fuck you, shit, you know, whatever. So the mummy.
So these bugs come out and they attack this guy and they like go in his mouth and his eyes and it's really gross. It's pretty gross.
Yeah, these bugs are messing with this guy, and he can't die, and nothing can happen to him, so he gets transported to, like, the middle of the ocean, so he could, you know, basically, you know, he's okay, because he can't die, you know, and he's gonna drown, he drowns to death, but whatever, you know, he disappears. And so the other characters, the other team members we get introduced to them. And they are back because they got revived.
Yeah, and they always scream, I guess, because they're, like, given a new person, like, a new life. Is that, like, wiped away? They don't remember who they used to be? I'm not sure how that goes.
But apparently it's very painful.
And it hurts. But they're back, and now they're in these really fucking stupid uniforms.
Yeah.
That are really dumb. Especially Foreplay. She does not have four arms.
I thought she was supposed to have four arms.
That would be even better if maybe she sprouts arms.
Well, she's only got two here.
Yeah.
And you know,
I don't know what's going on with her outfit. It's something.
So the zombie team comes back and they have
been mentally training together for like 6 months, but they've been
having like a danger room kind of like
in their head.
In their head, that's how apparently that's a thing you can do in this universe.
Yeah, they're like connected to each other, and they would train together. So now they're awake and prepared to go on this mission.
Yeah.
So they're going on a mission to like go find some guy.
They're going to find some this quantum guy.
Sure.
Who lives in Los Angeles. I'm like, hey, that's where I live. I wonder if we'll see him.
Sure. And then, like, so the mummies get in a helicopter. We cut back to the mummies. They get in a helicopter.
Who flew them? So the mummies fly helicopters?
The mummies fly helicopters. And not only that, but the mummies speak Arabic. And if they're mummies from ancient Egypt, they shouldn't speak Arabic. They should speak Egyptian or Coptic, which was spoken until the late 17th century. Modern day Egypt, the national language, is Egyptian Arabic. But not back then.
I think that's what somebody probably looked up. They says,
yeah, but Jesus Christ, I just looked that up too.
The way this was probably done was probably somebody was like, What does Egypt speak now? They go, Egypt's Arabic. Great, that's what they speak.
But they didn't speak Arabic back then. And it literally took me 2 seconds on Google. And in 2012, we had Google.
No, I think what happened...
If this was written in 1986, I'd be like, I just got a shitty book. Well, like a shitty library book. Didn't have a
problem. No, they probably literally went... They probably went like, what do Egyptians speak? I don't know, Egyptian? Arabic?
And Arabic. Arabic's good. Arabic. Just put Arabic.
Done.
Wrong. No fucking feet. Can't fucking pick right languages. What's wrong with you people? Asshole skirts. No, why are people... These people have feet. There's asshole skirts. Anyway.
So the mummy's come back.
And... Oh, can we also point out one other thing about this mummy? Do you see his chin?
Yes.
It's actually... Okay, so if anybody has seen, I'm certain everybody has seen, like, a picture of, like, King Tut, where they have that, like, long... I don't even know what it's called. Like, a beard almost, but it's not real. It's like a... You know what I'm talking about.
It's like a sticky outie.
Yeah, it's like a sticky outie beard that you've seen Egyptians have that was part of, like, their garb. This guy's chin is actually like that, like the bone, which is fucking...
Well, he is a revived mummy.
Yeah, but his actual chin wouldn't have that sticky outie thing.
Well, maybe...
He should just have a ceremonial piece or whatever, however they may... Because no one had a chin like that. That wasn't a thing.
I also like that they're bitching about the Americans. And he makes like a John Wayne reference.
Right. Like, where have these guys been?
It's like, really?
Yeah, you know, he literally says, I don't like Americans because they have too much John Wayne attitude.
Well, this girl's saying that. I don't know. The girl's a mummy too, I think.
Yeah,
right?
They're all mummies. All of them are undead.
And apparently they watched John Wayne movies in the tomb. But,
well, I mean, you know, if you're undead, you got nothing else better to do.
So the mummies are going back to take a nap, I think.
And they're going to, like, Afghanistan to do that for some reason. So, like, I don't know. Maybe they were, like, used to be people and now they're mummies? I don't know.
But Cabot surprises them.
Yes.
And he...
Shoves bugs back
shoves
in their mouth.
Shoves the bugs that were attacking him back in their mouth. And
drowns one of them.
Drowns one of the mummies.
Which, why the other two mummies don't stop him?
Well, maybe they do. We just don't see all of this happening. Like, true. Maybe in the next issue or something, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think this is the last we see of him here in this book.
I think it is, too.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Or no, wait, I think he comes back later.
Does he?
Or maybe he doesn't. Wait, hang on. Does he come? Let's go to the other book here.
No. No, he does. Yeah, he does. Because that guy shows up.
Oh, no, because he's fighting them. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyways, we go to Hot Los Angeles to see how the rest of the team is doing. And
I don't know, some fucker dressed like a Confederate flag.
There's like a Confederate flag man, and then there's a guy dressed in some random suit. I don't know who these guys are.
He looks like a bug.
But they're like, basically...
I'm going to call him Ant Fuck.
Ant Fuck and
Confederate Man.
Confederate Man are in Los Angeles helping out... you know, I guess protecting this quantum guy and then this blood strike team.
They all die.
These guys die.
They die.
The blood strike team shows up and
kills.
And then some, I think, I'm assuming this girl's like some sort of starlet.
Yeah, or no, she's a gas station heiress. So I'm assuming this is written like she's supposed to be like a Paris Hilton type.
Where did you see that?
It's later on. In the book, he says she's a gas station heiress.
Oh, okay. Well, she
basically
dies.
She's like a Paris Hilton, and she's like, "Hey, how's it guy?" And she gets totally killed. Slicey. And
sliced
then,
by these ass. These.
And then this quantum guy, I guess his power is like Magneto's power, so he stabs Tag in the leg with like huge nails. That I'm like, where did you get those nails?
Yeah, where did the nails come from?
I think they came out of the wall, but like.
Oh, they came out of the wait, but they're coming out the wrong way.
Right, they came out the wrong way and somehow ended up.
Oh no! Oh, you know why? No, you know why?
Spikes.
No, you know why? Because he has this quantum guy has magnetic powers.
Yeah, I know, but like, why?
So he just ripped out a bunch of nails from his own wall.
Look how fucking big those nails are. Those are like railroad spikes in your wall.
Well, maybe he needs them. Maybe that's for this particular thing. And then
he tied up some guy with wire. And then he hit the other one, or he hit Foreplay with a fridge.
Foreplay with a fridge, dumped a fridge on her.
Yeah, just which is pretty funny.
And he shows up and he's like, oh, that girl's dead. And then he basically knows the score.
Yeah, he's like, all right, come out and just give me the fucking line about how I've created you or whatever. So obviously we're missing something that has happened.
But then he shows up, then Shogun shows up and he's like,
Cuts his head off.
Cuts his head off. That's
which
it.
Which is pretty great.
Because he's got no metal. The thing about him is he's got no metal weapons.
Yeah, he's got like a...
He's got organic weaponry, which
yeah,
is,
it looks like a sharpened stick.
Yeah, he's got a bone sword.
Yeah, sure.
And he takes care of business. And
yeah, see, gas station heiress.
Oh yeah,
yeah, right there.
Well, good for her.
Yeah, she's dead now. So they're like, all right, bring everybody.
So, Jesus Christ, I just read this.
Right, that guy.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna repeat it, but. God
just,
damn it.
I actually had to look at what year this came out in, because this guy drops a slur for gay people. The guy who, like, runs the command center, like, drops a slur for gay people that I don't believe anybody would use today.
No, they probably use it, but I mean...
They would, but I mean, like, if you had any...
But if you had to write a character that is intolerant in a comic book, I feel like...
You would drop that word?
Yeah, I guess. But... It's not necessary at all. Like, it doesn't... None of this stuff has any bearing on what the hell is going on here. It's just a bunch of, like, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, maybe you'd use that sort of, like, to show that this character is intolerant, and maybe that's his deal. I don't know, but, like...
He hates all races.
And gay people, so...
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, well, everybody's dead, great. So
yeah, it's literally like it's like,
yeah,
that,
like great, bring that dead. Head.
All right, bring the head back.
Bring that dude's head back.
And then we go back to Cabot, and he's fighting the other mummies. So
and he's like ripping brains out again.
He rips out a brain.
Problem because yeah, mummies don't have brains. Okay,
but is it really brains?
It looks like a brain.
It looks sort of like a brain.
And then some dude in a dress shows up.
And he's got a skirt, but hopefully not an asshole skirt.
No, he probably does not have the asshole skirt. Shock. He doesn't have an asshole skirt. And he's like, oh, I have prophesied that you would be here. Now just, you know, you have come. I am so happy. And that's the end.
Yeah. And there's also like a preview for Youngblood here.
Ridiculous.
Which did we read this to?
I read it.
Oh, well, I read it too.
And there's some Escher girl fucking boobs don't work that way shit going on this fucking book.
This was drawn. Oh no, this wasn't drawn by Lee Field.
No,
this is another one of his creations too. Young Blood. Yeah, see, there's feet.
So. Yeah, he didn't draw it. That's why there's feet. But I love the.
Wait.
What? That's what I'm saying. I love the super. The outfit where you can see hard nipple through it. Like it. I don't
know. But is it, like, supposed to be, like, metal or something? I don't know.
What, her outfit?
I don't know.
I don't know, but you can see her nips through it. And she's trying to get everybody to have sex with her, and no one wants to have sex with her. And I like this
guy here who is the wolf man.
Yeah.
But he's, like, looks like his outfit is, like, the same, like, kind of, like, the same color of his, like, it's like he's only got two tones.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind like of matches
got,
his skin
like, he's got, like, flesh hair.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. It's weird. And he's got, like, a weird V on his penis.
Penis V.
It's a penis V costume. Some of these costumes, man.
Yeah, I don't know. There's really nothing. Literally, it's just a bunch of like, hey, the team's back together, but and, like, it's not the kind of the team.
Yeah, and they're like, look at these tits and some ass, and like this guy just ridiculous fucking penis V costumes.
What the hell is this cover? Oh, is this the quantum guy? This guy's face,
I'm
who
assuming
dies.
That must be him, sure.
And here's the team. Okay, I'm looking at the cover. And, right.
Just, yeah, it's, you know.
This was, like, the most 90s comic produced in the 2010 era.
Sure. it was something.
There's not a lot of belts, though.
We've gotten away from belts.
There's guns, though.
There's a lot of guns.
There's a gun, there's a knife, there's swords.
There's that.
As an ankh.
An ankh with blood on it. But you know the funny thing about the blood in this? It's like if you
it's not like it just kind of
it just sort of like it's almost like it was airbrushed. It's just,
yeah, no,
it's
that's
weird.
The thing. It looks like it was somebody shot them with like a squirt gun full of blood and it just kind of like spreads on their clothes. Like I mean there's
yeah, like down like that. It's just like it really does look like it's just like airbrushed or like watercolored on.
Yeah.
Instead of like it looks weird against the other intentional colors, I guess you would say, because the blood just looks really dumb.
Yeah. No, yeah, it really cut the guy's people's heads off and stuff. Like,
it really does look like it just kind of smudged on there with like watercolor. It's strange.
So you got one artist that can't draw feet, and you got another one that can't draw blood.
Yeah.
Sums it up.
I can't
right
believe
there.
You didn't know that he has a reputation.
I don't read enough. I'm not in tune enough with Rob Liefeld's canon.
And people hate his work.
Oh, I know. I've seen plenty of his stuff, but there you go.
Yeah, that's it.
That's Bloodstrike.
Don't buy grab bags full of comics, guys. You're gonna get this shit.
Well, yeah.
We got some other. I don't even know what else we got in there.
We got a few Marvels.
We did. We got a Wolverine.
We got a Wolverine. We got some
an Ultimate X-Men, maybe?
Ultimate Comics X-Men.
But everything else is just like this weird.
It's like indie stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
there's some stuff in there.
And there's like something by Garth Ennis in there. It might be exciting.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, I don't want to make fun of that stuff because it's like, well, that's like.
It might be really good.
It might be really good, but also, I mean, this is fucking.
Well, that's fucking
image.
Trash.
This is image garbage. So I will gladly.
That's
take
trash.
This apart,
so. That's trash right there. But some of the other stuff might be really good. We just picked trash to read today.
And our show. Anyways, that's Bloodstrike number 27 from
2012.
What's it? Good month? April 2012. There you go.
Woo!
All right, we're back here on Worst Collection Ever here on Sideshow Network and Comics on Comics. So, thank you for joining us. Next up is an issue of Quasar.
Yes, Quasar. You are correct.
Quasar.
Not Quasar.
Quasar.
Which, for some fucking reason, you always call him Quasar. Why? Do you have a reason for that?
I don't know. I just feel like saying it. It's kind of like there's a scene in this movie, Suspiria, that the guy's like, instead of he's saying occult, he's like, you must not join the occult.
Yes, I remember the occult.
That's sometimes he's like, sometimes just how you say it, you know, or how, you know, when they say the term suplex for wrestling?
Uh-huh.
It's actually pronounced souplet.
Because it's French?
I guess, yes. And that's how it's been said by one of the most famous announcers, Gordon Solie.
Souplet.
So maybe,
but,
you know,
suplex, because we're fucking American, so we're going to pronounce that X.
Let's put that X.
We say quasar in America. Not quasar. Because, see, here's the thing. I understand that you like to say quasar, but then you, like, go into comic book stores, you ask people if they have quasar comics, and you literally call it quasar. People look at you like you're crazy.
Well, because you're looking at me crazy if I'm even asking for quasar in the first place.
No, that's number one. Number two, you're calling it quasar. So they're like, what? Because I get it, because you're being funny. You're trying to say your word funny. But those people have no fucking clue what's going on. And now they think you're crazy. Because not only do you want to read a Quasar comic, you call it Quasar.
Let's also speak of a thing that was actually very funny yesterday at the comic book store, where we were cashing out, and they have these, I don't know what they were. They're just like,
they were big like playing cards.
Big playing cards.
With
from like
Marvel characters on them.
Marvel characters on them from like the 70s.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, oh, well, those are neat, you know. I was like, I wish, you know, if they have a Wonder Man or Adam Warlock, you know, I'm on it, you know. And then somehow it got into the discussion where the guy was like, yeah, there's a group of.
But what, that you actually asked if anybody was a fan of Wonder Man.
Okay, yeah. So
and
I was like,
you're like, oh, a couple times, there's like one or two of you guys who come in here.
You know, you said there's a group.
Well, maybe he means like three. Three could be a group.
Okay, that's more than one.
Yeah, but I'm thinking
that, if you add me, that's four.
But I think he's actually counting you in that number. It's not three.
I don't know.
Because nobody else likes Wonder Man.
And so he's like, and so
it's not like these people get together and meet. I think he just meant like there's a couple of you guys who wander in there.
There's
got
to be a guy who walks
there
in.
There's another guy. There is another you, and I swear to God, he looks exactly like you, but he's blonde. And he loves Wonder Man, and you guys should, like, hang out together.
And he can surf.
Sure, and he surfs. But, like, you guys should, like,
hang out together. But the thing is, I asked the guy, I'm like, is it anybody famous?
Yeah.
I don't care. I want to know.
No. You really think he's going to be like, yeah, humongous star. Look, The Rock comes in here all the time looking for Wonder Man comics.
Maybe he does. I want to know.
The Rock does not really, like, care about Wonder Man.
I don't know. I want to. I feel that there's somebody out
there.
You know,
there is someone out there.
I was just a shot in the dark.
There is somebody out there, babe, who loves Wonder Man as much as you do.
And I was hoping.
And one day you're going to meet that guy, and then you and that guy are going to, like, hang out and be best friends. And it's going to be great. And there's going to be, like, a music montage, like, from an 80s sitcom.
It's going to be one of those things where we're just sitting at a table eating Wonder Man. Eating Wonder Man.
Yes.
Reading Wonder Man comics, and then we just finish and you just trade the comic.
Yeah, and, like smile at each other.
Oh, hey. Yeah,
it's going to be, like, a music montage of people becoming friends. From 80s TV shows. Friends, love, Wonder Man, look at Friends, read Wonder Man. It's going to be like that. And you guys are going to like skip down Hollywood Boulevard, each holding a Wonder Man comic. It's going to be so great. I can't wait for that day. It's going to be such a wonderful day.
No.
You're going to come home and be like, babe, I met a friend. And I'm like, I'm so happy for you, babe. And then you're going to sing me the Wonder Man song.
And we're going to have a cake. It's going to be made. It's going to look like Wonder Man.
It's totally going to look like Wonder Man. It's going to be so exciting. I can't wait for that day. It's going to be the best day.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
Now I feel embarrassed.
Why? You love Wonder Man.
I know I do.
And one day you're going to meet somebody else who loves Wonder Man. You guys will be friends.
I know.
And don't be embarrassed about that. That's going to be very exciting.
I shouldn't be embarrassed to ask if somebody famous likes Wonder
Man. I just don't know why you had to know if it was somebody famous.
I don't know. I'm curious.
Like, what a fucking Hollywood ass thing to say.
I don't know. I'm just...
Somebody famous?
Who cares? I just want to know.
I'm just giving you... Why? What would you do with that information?
I would keep it and be happy. And I would occasionally bring it up when arguments come up about Wonder Man's validity, about whether or not he is useful in the Marvel Universe. I'd be like, well, at least...
So-and-so likes him? What if it was a shitty celebrity? What if they're like, yeah, somebody famous likes him, and it's... Ted Cruz. He's a politician, but he's famous. That would be the worst.
John Wayne Gacy loved Wonder Man.
Oh, man. Ted Bundy got a hard-on for Wonder Man.
Let me tell you about the Night Stalker. He was also a Wonder Man fan. Rumor has it he would read a Wonder Man comic book appearance before he would go and kill.
Some people say it was his dog that was talking to him, but no, really, it was Wonder Man.
That was David Berkowitz, who also loved Wonder Man.
Wasn't that the Night Stalker, too?
No, that was the Son of Sam. Did you not see the Son of Sam movie?
I never saw that movie.
No. It's actually pretty funny because there's a scene where he's sitting there and like the dog starts like talking to him and the dog's like literally like, kill, kill, right? And my friend was like, you know what would be funny if that movie, if the dog's voice was replaced by Norm MacDonald's voice? And it was just like, he's like, yeah, note to self, kill. And it just, which... Could that happen?
I would watch that movie.
I would Hollywood. No, that would be a Hollywood. No, actually, if I was like producing that movie, I'd be like, could the dog's voice sound like Norm MacDonald?
This is why people don't ask you to produce a movie.
No, it's exactly why. I will never be successful. All right.
Okay.
So, Quasar.
Whatever you want to call it, babe.
Quasar.
Number 19.
Number 19 of the Quasar. Quake. God damn it. Quasar Volume 1, number 19 from February 1991.
Yep.
And I love this cover.
It's a great cover.
Because.
Doctor Strange is just like.
Well, here's the
like
thing.
At the bottom.
This is the thing. Because so Quasar and.
Jack of Hearts
are having a fight in space.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, Doctor Strange is in this comic, so it's like, plus Doctor Strange. And for some reason, he's just kind of like...
It's just his shoulders.
it's just like him kind of like creeping up at the bottom. Instead of just kind of putting him in like in a box and putting his face...
No, he's like just sort of peeking up over a planet.
As if he's like watching this going on. He's like, hey, what's going on, guys?
It's like he just walked in the room. It's like, hey, oh, never, no, I'm out.
Plus Doctor Strange.
He's not even in here very much.
No, he's not. He doesn't do anything. He just shows
except up. Except look like Polly Walnuts from The Sopranos.
He shows up and gets yelled at, and then he just leaves.
Yes. All right.
So we start off with
Kronos,
who is giant space body man floating through space. The world, and he just keeps getting bigger and just keeps.
He's a celestial being.
He's a celestial being and just keeps getting gianter.
And he runs into another celestial being. And he's like, hey, other celestial being, what's up?
Because, let's be honest, you're not going to find many celestial beings just really floating through the cosmos. Because space is fucking huge.
Right, and he's very bored and he has nothing else to do. So he runs into, like, another guy and they're like, hey, how's it going, other guy? And he's like, good. So they, like, have a little talk. Kind of like old men on the street.
Yes.
I think even if old men don't know each other, they just sort of stop and talk to each other because it's just sort of like, hey, we are old.
We are alive. Let's talk.
Let's have a conversation because what else are we doing? So that's basically what happens here. And he's like, how's it going? And he's like, well, you know, he starts telling him basically all of his problems. About how Thanos, he like birthed Thanos.
He birthed Thanos and Titan, stuff like that. And he, you know.
And he kind of fucked up.
Kind of messed up. And he's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just kind of floating around here.
I'm looking for infinity.
He's looking for
infinity. That's really what I'm doing. Yeah. I am looking for infinity, much like waiting for Godot. Because she apparently is huge. Bitch is huge. And he's looking for this huge bitch. And.
Yeah, that's how Marvel Universe wants it explained.
Looking for a...
So he'd be looking for this huge bitch, right? He's floating through space. He's all like, I'm big, but I'm looking for this big bitch.
Because she's bigger than me. And I feel like
that's how...
She's taking up my space.
I feel like this is how Tracy Morgan would explain the Marvel Universe.
he's looking for this huge, because she's taking up the space that he expects to one day occupy.
Oh, okay.
So that's why he's looking for her.
So he meets this guy. I don't really know what this guy introduced or whatever, but he shows up and he's like, but he's so excited to meet, you know, Kronos.
Well, Kronos is excited to meet him because he's just like, hey, a friend, let me tell you all this the stuff I shouldn't tell you. Kind of like that guy on the subway who sits down next to you and just starts talking to you.
I imagine this probably sounds like a conversation like Teddy from Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, that's exactly. This is the conversation that you have. You just sit down and it's like, hey, hi, how are you doing? So I birthed this horrible creature and, you know, I'm just floating around. That's what I'm doing.
And he's talking about all the stuff in this other celestial guy's like,
uh-huh.
He's like, cool story, bro. All right, I gotta go. And he's like, but wait, you're like leaving. I just saw
Don't
you.
Leave. I haven't talked to anybody in forever.
And so he's like,
I'm lonely.
And he's like, fuck that. I'm out of here. I'll see you later, bro.
Because he was like looking. He was glad this guy gave him the information about the power structure of the universe.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, if you're a celestial being, you probably could have figured that shit out. Shame on you for being stupid.
For being a celestial being and being a dumbass.
Right? Like, I'm sure...
You're like a space... you know, you're not a non-corporeal body floating through space.
Right.
Like, and you don't know what the hell to do?
Wouldn't you just automatically be, like, tapped into the sources of information?
You should be already, like...
Have Google in your head.
You are Google.
You are Google. You are the cloud. Like, that... People upload shit to you. Like, you should be able to, like, figure out the power structure of, like... Whatever. And I'm just like, okay, I guess that's a power structure. Because he's like, oh, infinity and eternity and oblivion.
Yeah. I know eternity. I don't know if I've ever seen affinity or oblivion, but I've seen eternity.
And you're like, okay. And
he looks like these guys.
And he's like, I'm so glad he just told me that. I'm like, you didn't. Like, you couldn't have figured that out. Like, yeah. You're stupid. So he, like, flies off into, like, a pink baby face.
Well, that's actually the face of chaos.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, because there's, like, chaos and there's order. And they're just represented by these... What? Gnarly faces.
Chaos just, looks like a crying baby.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's
what, this was.
This is like okay. Reading this for me holds about as much interest as reading about the new gods. I do not care. I'm sorry. I kind of like this
cosmic stuff, but it's just cause that's why I like
Quasar.
So anyways.
Head back.
So we're back to the Project Pegasus, where apparently Quasar just kind of chills. And he's there with the Squadron Supreme. So Squadron Supreme are basically like the JSA. You know, they're from a different dimension.
Yep.
They're a bunch of like heroes that kind of
And they're kind of stuck here right now.
And they kind of represent like different, you know, like superhero tropes.
Right.
You know, like just like Pyrion, and there's Whizzer, and there's Power Princess, and there's Dr. Spectrum, and you know, of course we get to see there's actually, it's a very tasteful ass.
It is a very tasteful ass, compared to the last one that we saw with the asshole skirt.
Yeah. It's a very tasteful ass with the Power Princess, who went on to have sex with the Hulk.
That's right. We read that that issue.
It all ties in. But it's funny, because they're sitting here. Quasar's using his Nega Bands to arm wrestle Dr. Spectrum with their giant late constructs of made into hands.
Yep.
Which, to be honest, they got nothing better to do.
I mean, they're literally hanging out. They got nothing else better to do. Then why does that guy, I don't even know who that guy is, his costume makes me think of Charlie Brown.
Oh, that's Wizard.
And he looks like Charlie Brown. Because he's got like that like yellow with the black.
I think it's Wizard.
Zigzaggy.
I don't think it's Wizard. Maybe it's somebody else.
I don't know. Whatever.
So anyway, so they're sitting here and Dr. Strange shows up. And he's not dressed as Dr. Strange. He's actually kind of dressed as like...
Polly Walnuts.
He shows up and he's like, because they're trying to get him back, get these guys back to wherever. And he's like, hey, Stugatz.
Hey.
You know, and he's like,
he's a better looking version of Polly Walnuts.
So Doctor Strange is like, well, I'll get you guys back, so, you know, let's figure this out, I guess.
Like, I'll cast a spell. But, like, what is with this chick talking about, like, her infant son who, like, now rules the universe or something? Like, what is going on? I don't even know.
It's funny because she's just like, oh, I have all these utilities. He's like, I see. Like, literally, he's just like, it's like kind of like when you get, like, a long text from somebody and just go,
yep.
Yes. this is the Marvel Comics equivalent of just going, K.
New phone, who dis?
New phone.
Basically his reaction. Yeah, so she's talking about like how her infant son is like now the main wizard.
Yeah, no, apparently there's a wizard deal.
It's a baby wizard.
Baby wizard.
Baby wizard.
That sounds like it's coming to Fox or something.
Baby wizard.
So he tries to
they're like, bye, Quasar. One of them calls him Quaze. Like, peace out, Quaze. Like, Doctor Strange says his magic words, and then only half of them go away. Like, not half of the people, like half of their body.
Right.
So they're like cut in half.
They're cut in half.
And it's really kind of creepy.
It's kind of creepy, and it's funny because because apparently there's this interdimensional space force that's going on their end that is preventing them from completing this this deal.
Yeah.
You know,
let them go back to their dimension. And I think that's where her infant son comes in. I don't even know.
Yeah, where this guy comes. So he shoves
him. So Quasar like goes in and he's like, quick, grab onto my power beamy things and I'll pull you back into our dimension, my dimension, you know, the 616 world. And great. And so everybody's like ends up in a pile.
Oh, there's the baby wizard.
That's what I'm telling you. Like, I don't understand what the whole, like, he's our my infant son is our new wizard supreme, and it's literally a baby.
Apparently he's being shitty.
Yeah, and he has to, like, walk through something. I really didn't understand what her point was. Just, like, once he gets to the end of this journey, he'll send a Pegasus, and we can return.
So these guys are stuck, and they gotta stay.
Like, whatever.
Whatever.
So he's like, let me get you guys some rooms. You might have to share. This ain't fucking Ritz. It's like a Holiday Inn.
Project Pegasus is the Holiday Inn.
But, you know, clean sheets spaces. Anyway. Shitty breakfast buffet.
Is there a continental breakfast at Project Pegasus?
Yeah. And it's pretty shit. Hopefully not ham cubes.
Not ham cubes, like, but you know there's those cereal dispensers that kind of like you have to crank.
In like a weird way. And it, goes, and it just crumbs.
It just basically you just get like Cheerio dust.
Delicious.
So that's what they're looking forward to.
Yeah, anyways, so it's exciting.
So these guys are... So anyway, so we find out our buddy from the cover, Jack of Hearts, he's towing
a pride flag.
Yes! Yes, he is.
Because it's like he's towing these rainbow things. Like, they're all different colors, so it looks like a rainbow.
And he's got some, like, guy behind him named Sergey, which I think is funny. It's like some Russian dude in a chair.
Yeah.
You know, they're all like, all right.
He's basically having a space pride parade.
Space pride parade.
In his fabulous costume.
His costume
is so fucking ridiculous.
The fact that he looks like he does, I think he's... I find him to be very... he's an interesting character.
Mm-hmm.
But... it's fucking... his costume is ridiculous.
Yeah. So then we go back to Quasar and Doctor Strange flying off, waving bye. So Quasar can go to work as Wendell
Vaughn. So here's the deal with Quasar. Yeah. He is...
a lawyer?
No. He's basically... he graduated from S.H.I.E.L.D., and he was going to be, like, a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, but they realized that he's too much of a wimp to be a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. But he got a hold of these quantum bands.
Uh-huh.
And every time, because S.H.I.E.L.D. had them. And S.H.I.E.L.D. was, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. agents were trying these quantum bands on, and a lot of them were just blowing up.
They didn't like them.
No, because the quantum bands, they couldn't...
It's kind of like Green Lantern's ring. You have to, like, be worthy to wear them.
Right, and they didn't have enough self-control, but it turns out that Quasar, being the wuss that he is as a field agent, also was able to use his chill attitude to control the quantum bands,
mm-hmm.
right? So what he does, though, is having the quantum bands, he is the appointed protector of Eon...
Uh-huh. Which is that weird eyeball guy.
Who is the space celery with a big eyeball. Space broccoli. With a big eyeball. And he...
really creepy eyeball.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't understand
how... he's the most disgusting looking thing. You're just like, ew.
But it's fun. That's why I love this book, though. Because it's like, he's literally just like... he's like, he'll just be like, hey, Eon. And it's like, Eon's just
like...
he
looks like a garbage pail kid.
He's literally talking to this giant garbage pail kid.
He's like a ball of clay with like an eyeball in it. It's really gross.
So he, he's the protector of the universe,
right? But like, what's his day job? Because like, obviously, he's in a suit with a mullet.
Okay. So his day job is he's a his cover is that he's a why am I blanking? He's like a security systems guy.
Yeah,
like, he creates security systems for, like, high-end stuff, and he's in the Baxter Building.
Yeah.
So he takes up space there, uh-huh. and, you know, sometimes, you know, the Fantastic Four is like, hey, bro, whatever.
He's very blonde with a mullet and some serious Coke bottle glasses.
Yeah, that's his identity, his secret identity, is Wendell Vaughn, geek with mullet. And
geeky mullet.
And,
with... secretary who wears club wear to work, as so many of these women in these comics do.
Yeah.
They're just like, you know what? I'm going to wear a mini dress to the office.
So she's in there with, he's in there with this girl, you know, so there's this, what's her name? Mrs. Steckley, who is, she came in, there's issues before this
uh-huh.
where she shows up and she's like, I want to work for Mr. Vaughn and stuff mm-hmm. like that, but she has an ulterior motive mm-hmm. and she somehow gets behind the staircase, the bookcase where he keeps Eon.
See, there he is, right there.
Because Eon's just like, you know, like, hey, I got a space seller. I got, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and she, like, apparently she didn't come into work yesterday. And she's back, and she's sitting on his couch. And she's like, oh, I had a medical emergency. And he's like, oh, you should be at home. And she's like, no, I want to work. And he's like, no, I insist. And he, like, goes to, like, help her off the couch, and she throws him.
Yeah.
Like, over her shoulder, and the bookcase comes off, and then you can see Eon's weird eye with his hair.
Yeah, no, he's got like a Conan O'Brien dude.
He really does. He's got Conan hair and, like, a big old eyeball. And just, he's just gross. And he's kind of like, ooh.
But it's funny because
like his cage?
That's where you live. That's where the space cage is.
But he's in a cage?
I mean, he's in a cage. Just a room.
Okay.
Where he keeps him in the space, and then he goes, and Quasar will be like, because Quasar's Negabands can talk to him.
But, like, he's not just wandering out in space? Or is this just how you get to
this is how you get to where his neighborhood is. He's in the space room. But he can, you know...
he can go wherever he wants, right? He's not trapped.
I think, I don't know exactly. I mean, he doesn't need food or anything. He just could sit there and just contemplate and basically guide Quasar, you know, throughout.
Does he ever think about, like, why do I have this big fucking eyeball?
I don't know, actually. That's a good question. So thankfully, before the book, because the bookcase is about to fall because it's been tampered with, Makari, his eternal buddy, runs in. That's why it says Whist.
Yeah,
because he runs really. He's
like a Flash.
He's like a Flash guy, and he, you know, helps with this. And
he's like, "Oh, I saved it," and she's like, "Okay, I'm gonna go home. Sorry, I threw you, boss. I won't throw you again." And so he's like, "Oh, okay. Well, me and my buddy here. We're gonna go look for an apartment.
Yeah,
somewhere."
And they get hooked. They get a hookup, but we find out that
The woman who threw Quasar is, like, mentally connected.
Yeah, Miss Steckley is mentally connected, and they're chatting, and she's making a bath.
And she loses her hair.
And that's what, you know what I think? I think this is, maybe this is Moondragon in disguise.
Oh, okay.
Because she,
wearing a wig.
Yeah, she's wearing a wig and stuff. I mean, and I just feel like this is who we're going to find out. Because she does show up in these books later. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have to get the next one because I want to find out who it is. But, yeah, so anyway, so they go looking at a hotel.
It's an apartment.
An apartment.
It's, you know, it's like a one-bedroom loft, and they rent it, which is fine.
Because they're bros.
They're bros, which might be weird.
Literally says bro.
Yeah.
You know, Quasar's like, Makari, bro, we got a place. And he's like, yeah, let's go celebrate. You know?
Like, oh, no, I was going to ask out that waitress, or not waitress, the receptionist in her mini dress.
Yeah.
So.
Because she's, like, really into him.
Yeah, she is, which is weird.
Because what happened was, so in the very, like, first couple issues when he establishes this office, he runs into her, like, running. She goes to, like, a job interview dressed like she does.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets, like, laughed out of the interview.
Yeah.
And he sees her walking out, and she's like, hey, he's like, oh, she's. Oh, you know, I think she runs into him or something. It's like kind of like a movie thing where it's like
it's a meet cute.
This is actually like a lot like a sitcom where it's like too many cooks, you know. And then she's like, yo, hey, she meets this guy in the office. It's like, or, you know, walking out of the building, he's like, well, you come work for me. I'm a startup. I've got, you know, business and whatever. You should come work for me as my my lady person.
Like receptionist. Yeah, and she's like, I just wanted you to notice me. I even broke up with my boyfriend.
Yeah,
and then she's like, well, maybe you're not into chicks because you guys just got that apartment together. And he's like, oh, no, I'm really into women, even though he just fucking rented a one-bedroom loft apartment with another guy.
Yeah, that's right. Like, I'll take it.
I mean, no, it's no judgment. If well, you're into dudes, you're into dudes, but, like, you... I mean, maybe he's bi, which is fine.
I hope Eon moves in with them. They can have the creepy space broccoli sitting there. Like, that would actually be a great sitcom. That's why I like reading this book. It just feels like a weird sitcom. Yeah. Like, actually, my favorite part of one of my favorite moments in this is when Quasar's father, he dies for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
He dies?
Well, because people die, yes.
He dies because, like, he gets... Because he discovers Eon, you know, because his dad's, like, a physicist.
Uh-huh.
And he discovers Eon, he just spends, like, days talking to him. And I forgot what happens to his dad, and he dies.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's, like, this tension between Quasar and his dad. And but Quasar's dad, like, he goes to see him after he dies,
mm-hmm.
but his dad is being kept alive, like, Weekend at Bernie style by Eon.
Oh, I think you've shown me that.
Yeah, like, he's kind of like, and his dad's just kind of like, hello, yes, hi, you know. And his dad, he's like, dad's looking kind of weird. It's like, yes, because the space broccoli is keeping him alive. Conan O'Broccoli. So, anyway, so Quasar's at dinner with the girl.
Being like, no, I totally like you, and it's totally okay that I'm dating literally the woman I pay for her office services. And that's not weird or inappropriate at all. And she's like, that's great. Because I was hoping that is the case, that we could have sex, even though I depend on you for my wages and employment and health insurance. So,
oh, there's no health insurance here.
There's no health insurance at this office. No. It's my wages. and continued employment. And he's like, oh no, some...
She's wearing a very inappropriate outfit.
Every outfit she has is inappropriate. She was wearing like a spaghetti strap party dress earlier.
Oh, that's right.
Now she's got like Gem and the Holograms, like misfit eyeshadow on, and
she's dressed like if you looked at the cover of like any like 80s like
no, you know what she's dressed like. So if you watch the Kroll Show, and that character Chelsea Peretti plays, where she does that makeover.
Oh yeah,
it's like look like this, like that girl. That's what she's that. That's her. That's her.
She's got some giant eyebrow eyeshadow here. Like literally, no, there's like eyebrow, and then there's like
a lot. Yeah, it's very drag. It's kind of fantastic, actually. But so anyway, when Jack of Hearts flies too close to the Earth, those band things appear on Quasar's wrist.
And so when she finally gets to see this, and apparently everybody in the restaurant does too.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, I have to go. And she's like, oh, you have another meeting? He's like, no, check out these bands. I'm the newest Avenger, Quasar.
And she's like, what? What?
And she's like, what? He's like, peace out. We'll go flying like in the Superman movie. Like he literally
creepily
says
grabs her face.
And she's like, oh. And he like runs away. So that's the last we see of her in her 80s outfit. And so he flies away to go find Jack of Hearts. And he's like, hey, Jack, what's going on? I just want to know what you're doing here.
Here's the thing about Quasar, though. I love Quasar because he's kind of, like, he's very, like, vulnerable kind of guy. Like, he's constantly like, do I do this wrong? Do I do this right? You know, he's got a lot of, you know.
He's a dork.
He's a dork, you know, but he's...
He's adorkable.
He's adorkable. He is adorkable. And he's adorkable. Look at his outfit. He looks like an asshole.
He's got another one of those weird cowl things that I don't understand.
He doesn't keep this one for very long. He actually changes it up so he gets, like, he's full bullet.
Oh, that's good.
You know, yeah, so he embraces his bulletness.
It's nice.
But, you know, but I dig him a lot, you know, and he's kind of, like, freaking out about this girl, you know, how he's like, oh, I told her this, oh, no.
Maybe I'm supposed to, whatever. So he finds Jack of Hearts, and he's like, hey, Jack, what's going on?
He's like, what up? Where's your passport?
Why are you here? Because, like, I just wanted to know. And Jack of Hearts is like, I'm not going to tell you. Let's fight. Which is, of course, the typical comic book thing one does, which it would be easier to say, I'm here because of X, but fighting, more important.
Yeah, so basically it is.
And Quasar's like, what the hell, dude? I just want to know why you're here, really. It's cool. And, like, so Jack of Hearts won't answer him, and they just fight. Fight, 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 fight.
Yeah, and then, and like, actually, like, one of the creatures that he's apparently transporting these creatures, one of them got, like, blown out of the hole.
I know, he's like, ah.
Just a poor, actually, it's kind of.
It's really sad.
Yeah, it's
like, kind of. That creature's not doing anything, he was just hanging out.
Yeah, he's dead as a fuck now, because he's got, like, because he's probably being transported as a prisoner, I guess, to Earth or something, and he's just like, yeah, whatever, you know, Jack of Hearts like, what the fuck, dude, you're just, you know, whatever, they're just beating each other up.
Right.
And
then Quasar tries to, like, suck his power out.
Because his energy, yeah, because his Nega Bands can, like, do all sorts of stuff with, like, the energy readings and stuff, and he could do that. But, like, basically, Jack of Hearts is pure energy.
Right, so if you suck it out of him, he dies. So Quasar's like, oh, I better not do that. I'll surround him with this, like, light force.
Well, it's his bubble. It's his, it's his Nega energy that he can do.
He'll be like, okay, I'll take you back to Earth, man. You okay? And then Jack of Hearts, of course, tries to kill him. And then his buddy, is Sergei, I assume, shows up in the chair.
Yeah, Sergei. I don't know what the hell Sergei's doing here. I don't know what Sergei's going on.
Yeah. And then I don't know what happens after that.
Yeah, and then, because what they want to do is they want to get they want to mess with Eon. That's their thing. So because the next issue is Assault on Eon. They're going to assault the space celery that is space broccoli.
Why is he space broccoli?
I don't know.
Is that what they call him, space broccoli?
I call him space broccoli.
Does he look like broccoli?
Well, you never seen the whole thing?
No, I saw the whole thing. He kind of looks like a ball. Why does he have a face in there?
I don't know. That's a thing. He also has like a wacky hand.
I would kind of call him more like a tree instead of broccoli. He kind of looks like broccoli.
He looks like space rhubarb.
Yeah. Yeah. Is he part of Groot?
No, he's not.
He looks like a tree.
Why does he have hair?
No, he's got one eyeball, and then where the other eyeball should be is a really angry face.
He's also kind of veiny.
Yeah, he's like kind of like a dick. He's veiny like a dick. And he's got like a really bad wig and like a bendy arm.
Yeah, I've actually never noticed
like
his arm.
Like a Mickey Mouse arm, just like stuck on him with like a big hand.
I've never noticed his arm.
Well, there it is.
Yeah. So there you go. So that's who Quasar reports to.
That's a lot.
And he has to kind of be like, hey, what's going on? It's funny because occasionally sometimes in the comic, like, Quasar will be in his office and then there's like a scene where like there's a panel where he like Quasar like or Eon moves the bookshelf and just kind of pokes out and he's like Quasar's just like, hey Eon. It's just very like
It's a sitcom. It's like Belky.
Like if he came out if he would have did that, it would have never been a laugh track.
That's funny.
That's
so maybe can I just say one thing? Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
No, we're not talking cocaine. We're talking acid.
Acid cocaine?
Jim Starlin, who probably, I think, created Eon, they did a shit ton of acid back in the 70s.
You'd have to.
There's no really. I mean,
like,
it's...
make it a veiny dick tree.
All right, so, like, he's got
one eye, dude, the colors.
Dude, so his boss is going to be, like, this giant, like, veiny dick tree monster with, like, Conan O'Brien hair.
Who's Conan O'Brien? You'll know in several years.
When it happens, you'll know.
20 years, bro. So,
and he's
going
to have, like, this face, and there's going to be a giant eye. He's gonna have like roots and stuff, and then eventually, like he dies. You know, Eon dies.
Does somebody cut him down, like chop him down?
No,
with an axe?
But he gives birth to Epic, which is like a mini.
So Eon is the lady.
I don't know.
He's both genders, I'm assuming, because he
reproduces himself.
Reproduces.
He's like an amoeba.
Mm.
So there's so much.
He's hermaphroditic.
Yes. Like, I mean, he looks like a dude.
Yeah, well, like, worms are hermaphroditic.
Yeah.
They're both. So Eon could also be both. Angry face and an eyeball and a veiny dick body.
Yes.
All right.
Anyways,
so let me settle that. Is that the end of that?
I think that's the end.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the end of Quasar number 19 from February 1991. And that's it for our show this week.
Yeah, I'm really hungry right now.
Well, so thank you for listening. You can always... check us out on Twitter. I am at Angry Hero Sean, SHAWN.
And I am at Jen Stansfield on Instagram and Twitter, and jenstansfield.tumblr.com, jenstansfield.wordpress.com.
And Angry Hero or theangryhero.tumblr.com. You can check me out there. And Angry Hero Sean at Instagram. Jesus Christ. Social media is way too much.
It's too much shit.
Yeah. All right, folks. We'll see you next time.
Bye.